I have some thoughts on my heart this afternoon.
Bless her, Brother Lord.
I know this is a hard service to stay awake, but maybe the Lord will help us to do that.
Yes.
To get a blessing. I'd like to read some very familiar scripture in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
Yes.
Time to be born and a time to die.
Amen.
A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. As we've grown older and look back upon our lives, we realize that there have been different seasons in our life.
Yes.
There's been times of growing up in childhood to adolescence and even into young adulthood, time when most of us got married and began to have children and families. There's a time that the husbands go off to work to earn for the family. There's a time for the mothers that raise the children and take care of the home. And then as the times go on and the seasons begin to change in your life, we looked around one day and all the children were out and married, just wife and I there at home. That's a time of adjustment, time of getting to be able to just learn how to get along with just one another without the activity of the children involved. And I've heard horror stories about that. One woman, I heard her say that when her husband retired, he didn't know what to do with himself. So when she was out in the kitchen trying to cook, he was out there right beside her trying to help her do it. And all she wanted him to do was get out of the kitchen and leave her alone. She'd been doing it for a lot of years. So there's adjustments that we make down through life and things that we have to deal with. But I'm thinking this afternoon about growth and development with the Lord. Growing with the Lord. The Apostle Paul had a burden. I believe he said it in several of his epistles where he said that you may be rooted, grounded, and set. Well, I thought a little bit about that, and I wonder, Lord, how did I do that? How do I do it? Thank you. I remember when I was in school, and folks, it's been 47 years since I graduated from school, so it's been a while ago. But I remember in school that if I really wanted to learn something, the teacher could stand up and give a lecture and teach the lessons, but if I didn't want to learn it, I didn't have to. I could let it go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
I hated to do homework, and I hated to take my books home and those kind of things. Or if I really want to learn, I can apply myself. I can listen, and my understanding it is that the teacher, she's or he, has been to college and been to school, and they have a lot more understanding than what I have. They know a lot more things about the subject that they're teaching than I know about, and I'm there to learn. I remember in my I went to a I can't think of the name of the school. I went to a school from my original high school. I went to a special school. That's all I can think of right now.
A trade school.
For my sophomore, junior, and senior year, and I went there with a major of excelling in accounting. I liked math. I liked it very much. Arithmetic. And so I thought, well, accounting must be what I need to get into. So that's what I chose. But you know, I was young then, about 15 years old, 14 years old maybe. Yeah. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. Well, after the first year, my sophomore year in accounting, I realized that I really made a big mistake. I didn't like accounting. I didn't like the debits and the credits and all those things and trying to figure out which column to put them in and all those things, but I still had two more years of that. And every year, of course, the teaching on that subject accelerated. And they were giving us more to understand, more to get a hold of. And I was one of those students, as I said, if you heard me, I didn't like homework. I didn't like to do it. I did a little bit, but I didn't like it much. And really, it's how you apply yourself in whatever you're being taught, whether you're really going to get a hold of it or not. When I was in my one of those years, I took algebra. Algebra was all new to me, but I was the best, or probably the smartest student in the class. I took a scholarship test and excelled in the entire high school that I went to. And I really did enjoy and love to do algebra. I haven't used algebra in 45 years. You know, don't ask me to do much algebra. I don't remember hardly anything about it, but back then it came to me so natural. And it was so easy to learn. Then, since I was in the accounting division, they wanted me to take typing. And here I am in a classroom with one guy and all these girls around me. We're taking typing. Well, I learned, I got to the point where I could type about 56, 58 words a minute with just a minimal amount of errors. Pretty fast typer. You know how I type today? That's how I type today. I haven't used that typing, and I haven't applied myself to that typing all these years, that kind of typing. But I get by. You know, when it comes to living for the Lord, we can just get by.
That's right.
Yeah.
If we want to, we can just get by.
That's right.
Or we can choose to apply ourselves and really get down to the place where we have a desire and a hunger for this thing, and we can learn from Father's table. When the Lord gives ministers messages, He gives the messages for the minister. I've got a lot of good old messages the Lord's given me, but He gives it for the people that He's wanting the minister to give the message to.
That's right.
I remember as a young man, probably in my very early teenage years, I remember when the old-time preachers used to come through where I lived up there in Ohio. Brother and Sister Stover and Brother and Sister Key and Brother Allen and Sister Allen and those kind of folks used to go by. And I remember they would hold meetings or they were there to preach on a Sunday or whatever it might be. And I had my Bible and I had me a little notepad and I'd write down every scripture that they gave us. And I would write down some of the thoughts that they brought forth. But that's not where it stopped. Even back then as a young boy, I remember specifically going home and I would find the time to get those scriptures out, those notes out, and I would go over every one of them again, and I would prayerfully ask the Lord to give me understanding and direction and guidance in this matter. And every time they would go by and preach those messages, folks, I gathered that in, and then I had the Lord re-preach that to my heart later on. And I really feel today that folks are being robbed of the Word of God that is being taught and being ministered to them because They are not receiving it in, and they're not feasting and dwelling on what God has sent them to feed their souls.
Yes.
This food here needs to be taken in, and it needs to be assimilated into the body, just like the regular natural food does. This spiritual food needs to be assimilated into the spirit, and we need to get a hold of this thing that it will be there to sustain us or support us in the times when we go through our trials, the times we go through our battles. We need the Word of God. When Jesus was taken out into the wilderness and He was tempted of the enemy, what did He use? The Word of God. Folks, that will defeat the enemy every time. It will defeat him every time if we will use the Word of God. Now, when it comes to you and I growing and developing in the things of God, you and I can't get in a hurry with God. God's going to work little by little, time to time. There's a time for every season, the Scripture says. And God is not really in a hurry, and you and I should not get in a hurry. But we should be consistent.
Yes.
We should be consistent in how that we are searching for and seeking for the Lord, rooted and grounded. I looked up the word grounded, and it said adequately versed in a subject. I've known people, and you probably have too, that can quote a lot of scriptures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I've watched some of those folks' lives. They can quote the scripture, but they don't really know what they mean. They really haven't applied it to their own experience with the Lord.
That's right.
Adequately versed in a subject, well grounded, having a sound basis, grounded in truth, or having a foundation, something that you build from. It takes years, as I said at the beginning, for us as a child, you know, the first thing we want to do is be 16 so we can drive a car. I've got my second oldest grandchild. She's 16 now, and she's driving a car. It makes her mother and father nervous. It makes her grandma and grandpa nervous, too. But she's driving a car now. She just took driving lessons a couple weeks ago in the class, and now she's going to take instructions from an instructor. But it takes years. The next thing, the next step in life that we want to be is 21.
Yeah.
Want to be 21. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own boss. I remember thinking those things. Maybe some of you have too. You know what I did after I turned 21? I got married. So much for being my own boss. We continue to grow and develop, and we learn from these things here. In my senior year in high school, now this one here will really get you, folks. In my senior year of high school, when I was setting up my schedule for the senior year, I was lazy. And I looked at the schedule, and I went and I found out just exactly how many points I needed to graduate. Just what I needed. I didn't want to have to do any more than I had to graduate. In other words, I tell people that when I went to school that I was training to be an astronaut because about all I did was take up space. In my senior year, there were 7 classes a day. 4 of my classes were study halls. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I didn't take any more than I had to graduate, but believe it or not, I graduated in the top third of my class. There were 500 and some people graduated in my class, so I still felt pretty good about it, even though I was lazy. I took my books home one time my senior year, and that was just to show my mother and father that I really was going to school. And I never took them home again because I had all those study halls. We can apply ourselves, or we can just take it easy. When the Lord saves us, folks, He wants us to begin to grow and develop, but it's not going to just come from the preaching. It isn't going to just come from the ministers. It isn't going to just come from the teachers. Brother Edwards, I was looking at the folks this morning when you was up teaching Sunday school, and I thought, you know, this isn't a very lively lot. And I look around, and I thought, I don't think some of these folks even really want to be here. You know, we need to be careful about the attitude that we have when we come to service.
Right.
We need to come hungry, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to come thirsty.
Oh, yeah.
Because God's going to have something for us, and we need to have our hearts open and our minds open with a desire to receive everything that He's got.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't stop right here. What you heard this morning, what you're going to hear, what you're hearing this afternoon, it shouldn't stop right there. When you get home, there ought to be a private prayer time where you get alone with God and you ask God to re-preach these things and give you the blessings and the strength that you need out of what you've heard today in order to be able to go on and face the devil. Some of these thoughts that I have this afternoon, I will admit, come from me having spent the last 4 or 5 weeks with my brother, who is dying. He looked at me, and my brother had been saved for 53 years. And he looked at me one night, about 3 weeks ago, and he said, Larry, he said, you're going to have to help me. He said, I don't know how to die. He said, I'm trying, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
And I said, Kenny, now here's my brother. You talk about someone that can quote the Scripture. He quotes Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Kenny, it isn't our place to try to die. God will take care of that. The Apostle Paul said, He giveth life and breath and all things. And I said, He's going to give you breath and life until He sees fit to call you out of here. You know, he's not the first one that I've been around among us on their deathbeds that struggle with things that you would think that they had gotten a hold of down through the years. Right, Brother Ed?
Yes.
And yet they come down to this point. He says, I'm trying to die and I don't know how. I said, it isn't for you to worry about how you're going to die. When the time comes, there ain't nobody going to keep you here. And there ain't nobody going to take you if the Lord don't want you to die. So it's all in His hand. Your job is to learn to live and glorify and honor God with your life as long as He gives you breath.
Amen.
Well, He got a hold of that. I went home that morning.
Yeah.
And that evening He called me up Himself on the phone. And He said, I would appreciate it if you come over here. I want to reconsecrate my life to the Lord. 53 years.
Amen.
That was music to my ears, folks.
Thank you.
You know, I've seen in the past where some people get this idea because they've been saved for 50 years. Everything, I took care of that a long time ago. Everything's just fine. I'm ready to die. And yet I've seen some of those same folks have some struggles when they get ready to die. We went over there and he says, Timmy, that I really couldn't believe what I was hearing altogether, but he says, tell me. How should I pray? What should I pray for? And I said, you know the Scripture. What does it say in Romans 12 and 1? If you're going to reconsecrate, presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, he said, oh yeah. Yeah, I remember now. Well, he prayed a very good little prayer and reconsecrated his life to the Lord. Now I said, now all you've got to do is just keep your faith and you're trusting the Lord and wait on Him, see what He's going to do.
Amen.
Wait on Him. See what He's going to do.
Yes.
Folks, ain't any of us know what He's going to do with us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how we're going to come down to die. We just know that's an appointment. We just know that that's an appointment, that we are going to die. But folks, you and I can't get in a hurry with God. There's a time for everything, and God will ordain those times in your and my life.
Amen.
You know that they... How many of you would rather have a hothouse tomato than one that is grown out there in the backyard and just ripened right on the vine? Well, we'd have, rather have that ripened on the vine, wouldn't we? You know how? You know what they do with those tomatoes, those hothouse tomatoes? They tell me that they pick them before they're ripe.
Yeah.
And then they ship them where they want them to go, and before they put them out on display, they spray them with CO2 gas. And that CO2 gas causes them to begin to turn color, and they begin to redden up right there before your eyes.
My Lord.
They're edible. You can eat them.
Yeah.
but they don't taste good. They don't have a real good flavor to them. Saints, we can really look, apply ourselves this way in the way that we become established and grounded and settled in the Lord. We can go on our casual way and do it the way we want to. And I heard about bearing fruit this morning. We might bear a little bit of fruit, but is it edible fruit? Is it fruit that the world can look upon and really see Jesus? So I'm asking you this afternoon, how are we really going about to grow and to develop into the things of God? God is concerned when He saves us, He's interested in how strong that we grow. He's more interested in that than how fast we grow.
Yes, He is.
He's really more interested in how strong you are. He's really more interested in how compassionate and how merciful you are. What does that scripture say in Micah 6 and 8? The things that the Lord God requires of you and I is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God.
Yes.
That's what God's really requiring of us today. To do justly to one another and to God. And to love mercy. And be merciful to others. And to walk humbly with our God. God is viewing your and my life today, not from time, but from eternity.
Yes.
God lives, the Bible says God inhabits eternity. And that's how He's viewing you and I today. Is from eternity. And so He chooses to develop us slowly. He wants in us as we grow with age. How did Job say that? He said, I said they should speak and not all men should have wisdom and the old men should have wisdom but not all do something to that effect over there. Just because someone is old doesn't mean they have wisdom. Just doesn't mean that they're wise just because they've grown with age. It's because they haven't developed properly. Lord wants you and I to develop properly. He wants you and I to get a hold of the things. The children of Israel, whenever the promised land was promised them, they didn't go over there and conquer it all at once.
No.
But they went over there and got it little by little, didn't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Little by little. When the Lord saved you and me, I don't know, I'll just stick with me here. When He saved me, He didn't show me everything bad about me at once. If He had, I probably wouldn't be saved today. I'd have been overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He didn't show me all the things that He needed to work on and that He needed to help me to grow. And if He had, I'd have been so overwhelmed, I probably would have got discouraged and went back. He did the same thing with the children of Israel, and He does the same thing with you and I. That's why we go to Sunday school. That's why we go to church. That the Lord can get His Word across to us. And when the Word comes forth and He points His finger on our hearts, puts His hand on our heart and says, this is for you. This is where you need to grow. This is what you need to develop. This is what you need to work on.
Yes.
It's time to take care of those things.
Amen.
It's not, don't wait until you come down to die, but to take care of it as from little by little, day by day, as the Lord begins to work on us, each and every one. The Bible says that old things, when a man comes to Christ, old things are passed away. And all things become new. Well, I'd like to work on that just a little bit. Now, some of you may be like me. Slow learners. Everybody don't learn at the same speed, folks.
No.
And I remember in my algebra class, everybody in that class didn't learn at the same speed. Everybody wasn't able to grasp the concepts that was being brought forth maybe right at first. My teacher, his name was Mr. Kitchen. And he used to call me Bright Eyes because I don't know what it was about algebra. The only subject in my entire 12 years, by the way. I'm not a real smart fellow. But the only subject in my entire year, I got 12 years, I got straight A's in algebra. And it was to the point when after we had finished a set of problems or we were going to move on to the next step, he would come in class the next day and ask me to go to the board and explain the new concept to the class before he even taught it. And I would go up there, and not every time, but most of the time, I explained it correctly. I remember my teacher saying, tomorrow we're going to have a test, and it's going to be on story problems. And for some of you folks, it's going to be a sad story. I remember him saying that very well. I always got my tests done very fast, and I got straight A's in algebra. The only so I don't know why that was. Can't remember much of it today. But some people are slow learners. Sometimes we need to relearn a lesson many times before we can get a hold of it. You know, the Lord has brought me through lessons of patience I can't even tell you how many times. When the Lord saved me, that's one of the areas that I knew that I needed a lot of work on was my patience.
Oh,
and He's worked on it many, many times. And I had to, when I think I got a hold of it, then He allows something else to come my way and it tries my patience and I realize, there again, I still need more patience. The Lord says, you need more patience. You need more grace there to help you with your patience. You probably remember me telling you the story about the traffic lights. I don't like red lights. I think red lights are a waste of time and gas. And I remember getting caught by one time, and I'm sitting there, and I said, I can't believe this. My wife's sitting over there. No, I said, I can't believe this. I don't need this, is what I said. My wife's sitting over there saying, well, evidently you do. And I've always said, you know, sometimes you just need to be quiet over there. You just need to be quiet. But folks, why did it happen? She was right. I knew she was right. Evidently you do. And then she gave me a lesson. She said, you talk about all these red lights that you get stopped at. She said, that's the perfect opportunity. You know so many people that need prayer. That's the time to pray for them. Well, I thought, wow, that's wisdom there. That's the time to say a prayer for someone that you know is in need. We have to, you ask for wisdom or you ask for patience. Folks, you're going to have a trial. When you ask for these things, the Lord's going to send a trial to help us to grow and develop and get understanding, to mature. The Lord's looking for mature Christians today.
Yes,
amen.
That is so. Help me, Lord.
Sometimes the problem keeps coming up and you say, oh, not again. I've already learned that one, Lord. And the Lord says, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. You haven't got it yet. You haven't got it yet. You know, the children of Israel, and here's my example here for you this afternoon. They are an example of how quickly that we forget the lessons that God teaches us. How quickly we forget. Hadn't been very long across the Red Sea where He had divided the waters and sent them across some dry land, and it wasn't very long at all. They were murmuring and complaining and forgetting all that God had done for them. Moses, you brought us out here in the wilderness for us to die. We need food. We need water. God is able to take care of whatever your needs are, folks.
Yes, He is.
God is well able to take care of your needs. And they are such a reminder of us of how soon that we forget the lessons that we learn and then go back to our old ways. Sometimes then we need repeated exposure to the trial. Sometimes we need repeated exposure. Number two, sometimes we need a lot. We have a lot to unlearn. Some of us, we came from all different walks and areas of life. Not everybody was born and grew up in the Church of God. Not everybody. And even those of us that were, like I was, went out into the world and picked up some things that I shouldn't have picked up. And when I came back and the Lord saved me, I had some things to unlearn.
Yes, that's right.
I had some things to unlearn. Do you know that people today, there's people paying counselors and psychiatrists and things, 50, 60, 70, I don't know how much they pay an hour, but I understand it's really a lot of money, an hour to help them fix the problem, and they want it fixed now, and it's a problem that's been developing for years. But I want to fix now. I want to fix now. Same way that God works with you and I, growth and development. God will work in His own time. He will work in His own way to everything. With the Lord, there is a season. The problem didn't develop overnight, and it's probably unrealistic that you're going to get it solved overnight. But God is a patient God, isn't he?
Yes, and merciful.
Yes.
Let me give you an example about things to unlearn or things to learn here. Sometimes we pray, the Lord help us because we have so much stress in our lives. I have a lot of stress. I don't know of a minister among us that's worth his salt that doesn't have a lot of stress in his life. You all have stress in your lives. And we can pray about it all we want to. We can pray and say, Lord, help me not to have all this stress in my life. But the fact of it is, folks, until we go out and we get rid of some of the clutter that's in our lives and get our lives a little more simpler, we're still going to have a lot of stress in our lives. Well, when we say old things have passed away and behold, all things become new, we now have His nature when we get saved, don't we? Mm-hmm. We have the nature of Christ. But we still have some old habits. We still have some old patterns or practices that need to be removed or replaced in our life. And that's what the good Lord does with every one of us, folks. He chips off the things that don't belong there. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God," which is the secret to that whole text right there to me, is loving God. To those who are called according to your purpose, my purpose, but according to His purpose. To those that are called according to His purpose, and the next verse says that we all may be conformed to the image of who? His dear Son, is what it says. Romans 8:29 says that we be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what God is trying to do with every one of us.
Yes.
He's wanting us to be producers of good fruit. And it's going to take you and I to come be conformed to the image of the Son. It takes grace to do that. It takes God's help to do that. It takes also you and I getting down before the Lord, and not just going to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm sorry, folks, but it's going to take some homework. I didn't like it when I was at school, but I have sure learned since I've been saved it takes a lot of homework. It takes a lot of getting alone before the Lord and seeking the Lord and asking Him to help you to know how and learn how to apply these things in your life. Get a hold of them that they can sustain you and support you in your time of trouble. And then another one is that sometimes the fact of it is we are just afraid to face the truth about ourselves. There's a song I've heard them sing at Monarch says something about there's a place in my heart where they're not willing to let God go. You know that even I don't go, thank you. That's sometimes we just humbly are just afraid to face the truth about ourselves.
Amen. Come on.
I know it's there, but I don't want to look at that. I know it's there, but I don't want you to talk about that. I know it's there, Lord, but I don't want to deal with that. You know, Jesus said the truth will make you free, but it'll hurt many times before it sets you free.
That's right.
Truth hurts. I understand that.
Yeah,
I understand when I go and look in the mirror every morning, I understand what ugly is. And whenever the Lord comes along and shows you places in your life that is not very pretty, and yet you say, well, I'm comfortable with these things, and I don't want to let go of these things. And God says, you've got to let go if you want me.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you want me to work in your life.
So
you've got to let go of it. You've
got
to be willing to face it. You've got to be willing to accept it. Maybe there's just a little fear there that I might discover something I don't want to discover. I may find something that I don't want to find. Knowing in your own heart that there's something that you're not willing to deal with God. Folks, We're not going to make it if we're not willing to deal with openly and honestly with the Lord.
That's right.
We've got to deal with Him openly and honestly.
That's right.
Because if we don't, then that causes us to be in denial. And when we get in denial, we are setting ourselves up for deception.
Yes.
We're setting ourselves up for big trouble, folks, when we're not willing to deal with God and ourselves honestly. Say, Lord, I've heard prayers. I've prayed them. You probably have too. Lord, show me anything.
Yep.
Show me anything. Whatever you show me, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. And the Lord puts His finger on something and says, oh, Lord, anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything but that.
Amen.
Now you know what I'm telling you is true, folks. That's the way, that's our human nature, isn't it? But yet the Lord told Joshua over there in the first chapter of Joshua, He told him about the land that they was over in the Canaan land, and He said, every place that you put your foot, every place you put your foot down, He said, I'm going to give it to you. Saints, let me tell you something. Growing and developing and getting strong in the Lord, sometimes we got to put our foot down on our own humanity. Sometimes we got to put our foot down on our own selfishness. Our own desires, fleshly desires. Got to put your foot down on those things.
Help me, Lord.
And get those things conquered.
Help me, Lord.
In our lives. That we can grow strong in the Lord. Those people that have faults, people that have failures, people that have weaknesses, people that have hang-ups. But we can't develop, folks. We can't develop.
No.
I don't want to be like those tomatoes. Just have a little shot of gas put on me and now I'm ripening. I want to do this God's way. It'll take time. It'll take understanding. It's not just the Scriptures that He wants you to understand. He wants you to understand why the Scriptures say what they say. Had someone tell me one time I was at Monarch and I was off the campground and I was talking to one of the folks and they said, you know, Brother Lee, said, I've been saved for 40-some years and yet I still don't understand, and I've heard the ministers preach on a certain subject and I've heard it time and time again and I don't do it, but I don't understand why. Folks, we need to understand why.
Yeah.
We need to understand why. If I go around doing something just because that's what the preacher says, that's not good enough for me when I'm in my personal battle and trial against the enemy of my soul and that preacher's not there to help me.
Come on.
I need it for myself. I need it for myself to be able. I need something on hand to fight the enemy of my soul. You know, you can say, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, but if the devil doesn't, if Jesus doesn't know you, you have no power with the devil.
That's right.
Seven sons of Sceva, they tried to do that same thing. They tried to run the devil off. And the devil said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you?
All right now.
We don't do things just because that's what the preacher said. Don't do things just because that's what the Word of God said. We need to understand the principle of what the Word of God says. God is not trying to bind us up. He's not trying to put us in a box. He doesn't hate us. He doesn't dislike us, folks. He doesn't want us to not enjoy and be happy in life. But He has a purpose for what He says in the Word of God. And we need to get a hold of it. We understand what His purpose is.
That's right.
You know what it's going to take, don't you?
When
you get right down to the bottom of everything I'm saying, you know what it's going to take, don't you? It's going to take humility. All the way. It's going to take humility, folks. Let's read Philippians, the first chapter. Probably know what that is, too. Philippians, first chapter. Second verse says, grace be unto you and peace from our God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. From your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Unto the day of Jesus Christ. If the Lord has saved you and I, folks, He wants to perform a work in you and I. being just saying, well, I hear people get up and say, oh, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm galvanized and I've done everything that and yet they're not enjoying their salvation. There's no blessings in it. They have no power with God.
Yeah.
They're always looking to someone else for their strength and their help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I, it's given unto you that you and I to have power with God.
Yes.
It's given unto us to have power with God.
Yes.
Oh, the disciples come back after the Lord had sent them out, and they were just so excited, said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. And the Lord said, yeah, I give you power over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. But don't rejoice over those things. But nevertheless, He's given us some power, folks. Let's don't live beneath our privileges. Let's live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it's really all about. I was telling someone the other day, folks, when you get in the grave, jealousy ain't going to matter. When you get in the grave, what that person said to you and that hurt, it ain't going to matter. Whenever you're in the grave and that pride that you have and that how exalted you are, who you think you are, and that you're somebody, that grave, it ain't going to matter.
Yes.
Because your soul's going to be out in eternity and meet God. And then we're going to give an account of those things, aren't we? It ain't going to matter, folks. There is no growth without change. There's no change without loss. You willing to lose? Song says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. There is no loss without pain. We're going to have to suffer some things, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
There's no loss without pain. But folks, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, we say sometimes, Lord, I don't want to let go of those things. They're so comfortable to me. They've been my comfort down through the years. Lord, I don't want to let go of those. But in order for me to experience the new things that God has for me, I've got to let go of those old things. If I want to grow and develop in the things of God. Sometimes we've got to be like Peter. We can look at Jesus walking across the water, but Jesus got out of the boat. We need to get out of the boat. Sometimes we just need to get out of the boat. Now I know from my limited experiences and in the ministry over the years, I know that there's some folks that just not being as honest as they ought to be with the Lord. The Lord showed them. The Lord's provided. The Lord supplied. They're just not being honest. Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Get out of the boat. You want to really experience this thing for yourself? Get out there on that water. Keep your eyes. Be sure when you get out there to keep your eyes on Jesus. Be sure to keep your eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the Scripture says. The author and the finisher of our faith. When it comes to growing and developing in the things of God, folks, it's integrity all the way.
Yes.
Integrity. 100% of the time. Not just when it doesn't hurt, but when it does hurt.
Yeah. Amen.
When He does show me something of myself that isn't pretty.
Yeah.
And that I need to do something about it. Integrity. Lord, you're right. You know, Lord, this just come to my mind. A couple months ago, two or three months ago, a brother came to me. He's had a lot of problems down through his life. A lot of experiences that some of them he wouldn't even want to express. But he came to me one time, he said, I'd like for you to meet me at the chapel. I want to talk to you. He'd been gone away for a while. Now he's wanting to come back. Someone that I learned to love very much over the years. And so I met him at the chapel. And he told me all the things he wanted to tell me. And I said, called him by name, and I said, you know what your problem is? He said, I figured you'd tell me. I said, you don't have any fear of God on your heart. He looked at me, and he says, oh, but Brother Larry, I've got the fear of God. I said, no, you don't. I said, I know your past. And I said, you've just been playing around with God. I said, let me tell you what the fear of God is. When the Lord saved me this last time, me, the Lord made it very plain to me, this is your last chance, Lord. You mess this one up, you're going to be lost forever. It's your last chance. And he dropped his head and he said, the Lord's told me that too. And I said, you better get the fear of God. You know what? He came back to me. He even mentioned it again the other day. And I told him before he left, I said, I'm sorry. You probably think I'm pretty rough on you. But I said, I'm more concerned about your soul than I am your feelings. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, you know, if you would have petted me and you had just accepted what I said and not told me what you told me, I'd have been very disappointed in you. So he told me. And he told me later, he said, I went home and I got down before the Lord. Said, Lord, I know I got the fear of God on my heart. And Brother Larry told me I don't have the fear of God. And he said, you know what the Lord told me? He said, Brother Larry was right. You don't have the fear that you ought to have before me. He said, boy, did I get down to business then. I got serious. He said, I couldn't see it when you told me that I didn't have the fear of God. But when the Lord said, Brother Larry told you right, you don't have the fear of God. The whole duty of man is what? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Fear God. Spiritual discipline, if you will. The word disciple comes from that, doesn't it? Disciple of Christ. Spiritual discipline, it builds our character if the discipline is mingled with the grace of God. Let me qualify that. Spiritual discipline mingled with the grace of God will build our character and cause it to be the character of Christ. Not my character. Brother Donald, he liked to tease me. He said, oh brother, he's got Alzheimer's now. But he was a minister of this gospel for over 40 years. He told me before he completely lost my mind, him and I have known each other since I used to sit on his lap on the way to church as a boy. So that tells you it's been a long time. He's 85.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you're a character, Larry, but I don't know what lawyer would take the case. He says, you're a character, but I don't know what lawyer would take the case. So, the Lord wants to build character in our lives. Spiritual character. To where that we are now conformed. We look like Jesus. Chipping away all those things that don't look like Jesus. Getting rid of all those things. My brother-in-law, he used to carve birds and I out of a little old piece of wood. And I said, how in the world did you get a bird out of that thing? It's just a piece of wood. He said, I cut away everything that doesn't look like a bird. That's what the Lord does with us, folks. He wants to cut away things. Spiritual surgery. Cut away the things that don't look like Christ. And when He does that, when we allow Him to do that, we're going to grow. We're going to develop.
Thank you.
We're going to be like Paul encouraged the churches. He said that you may be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. Let me show you one more way before I close this afternoon. How that Christ works in rooting and grounding us into the truth. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Folks, it's going to take sufferings, and we're going to suffer some things. Our Savior suffered, and He said, if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me.
Yes.
God doesn't enjoy watching us suffer just to suffer.
No.
But when you're going through sufferings, trials, tests, or physical sufferings, or heartbrokenness over children, or whatever it may be in your life, it is for a purpose of grounding you and settling you in the things of God.
Amen.
After that you have suffered a while to make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. In other words, the sufferings that we go through is to bring about spiritual soundness in our lives, in our spiritual walk with the Lord. You know, I'm glad God, in His wisdom, He knows how to do that with each and every one of us individually. Because we're all individuals. We all have different personalities. We all have different levels of understanding. We have different levels of grasping this over here, or grasping that over there. We might hear the preacher say something and we say, oh, I just don't see that, or I just can't get a hold of that. Don't let it stop there. Go home and talk to the Lord about it. This brother was very serious about getting things right between him and God. And when I told him he didn't have the fear of God, he didn't just say, well, Brother Larry, I don't know what he's talking about, and went on. He went home and said, Lord, Brother Larry said, I don't have the fear of God. And the Lord said, Brother Larry told you the truth. Folks, it's the truth that's going to set us free. Jesus said that. And sometimes we're a little fearful of what the truth might be. I understand that. I understand that. I have been no angel out there when I was out in the world. I wasn't no angel.
Come on.
I did things that I knew I shouldn't have done, and I did things that I knew the Lord was going to have to make correction and an amendment in my life, heart and life, if He was going to dress me up to be a child of God. But folks, there's no greater calling in this world than to be a child of God.
Amen.
We're all kings and priests
in
the kingdom of God today. I want to encourage you through the Word, through the Scriptures, through this simple little message this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
You work with the Lord will work with you.
Yes.
Because it's His desire. Well, He said in Peter, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, it's not His will that any of us should perish. It's His desire that we all make it, folks. And if you have to repent, repent.
Yes.
That's what He said, repent.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. Lord, I failed. Righteous man fell 7 times, but he got up again.
Yes.
That's what the Lord wants us to do.
Yes.
So may God help us that we'll grow and develop and live a successful life for the Lord. He wants some fruit. He wants some fruit bearers. He wants us to bear the fruit.
Amen.
But you're not going to get it without some effort. You've heard the saying, you get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much right. You get out of it what you put into it. You don't put much into it, you're not going to get much out of it. My English teacher, I don't know why I'm thinking of her. Why is it, sisters, that I got 2 teachers here? At least 2, I know. Why is it English teachers are always old and ugly and mean? That's the kind I had. When I was, Sister Ann says, you can laugh if you want to. And so, consequently, you know what I didn't like at school? No, not the teacher. English. I didn't like English. You loved it. That's great. We had to diagram sentences and all that kind of stuff. Do you know that I'd been preaching a few years, and I did held a revival in West Virginia, and on the way home, 350 miles, I had to listen to my wife. She's not a teacher, but she's a nurse, and she's much more educated than I am. She said, I know that you're not going to take it because I'm your wife, but I'm going to tell you some things. You and your double negatives and this and that and the other, she started in on an English lesson for about 300 miles. And I said, no. I said, I will take it from you. Whenever I went to school, I had not a clue that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. Maybe if I had it, I might have paid a little more attention. See, that's an example of what I'm trying to talk about. What does God have ahead for you? What is ahead for you? What are you going to face? I found, and you have too, that most generally when you go through a meeting like this, when that meeting's over, you're going to face something that you heard there. And He's trying to prepare you for it. He's trying to prepare you for it. He's trying to prepare us all. He said, I have in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you folks. It's prepared for us, and it's prepared for a prepared people. So let us get prepared, and let us work earnestly in living for the Lord. Amen.